I want to apologize. Let me first of all just say this. Let me back up. You're going to be wondering, okay, what is it? All right. I've got some bronchitis I'm fending off this morning, so I'm probably going to cough on you. Please excuse that, but pray for me, okay? All right. Green and red boxes. It's Operation Christmas Child again. And we talked about it last week. Well, this church has always had, I think, for some time anyway, over 1,000 boxes that we send out to little boys and girls across the world. And this is your invitation for you to get a box from the back, pay the $9 shipping, fill that little box with underwear and toothbrushes and candy and combs, and write a little letter to that kid, knowing that that little boy or girl you're sending it to may be the first time they've ever received any of those things. Also in there will be the gospel. And those children will be led to understand about God. They'll be invited to come back for 12 weeks of Bible study and to help them really learn about Jesus and grow. And so you are fulfilling the Great Commission by doing that. God bless you. I hope you do it. Ushers, you guys come forward. Let's thank the Lord this morning. I'm really, really, no way could I stay home today. I just really, really want to do this message. It's important to me. I think it's important for the church because I think we'll hear Jesus. I want to hear what Jesus says. Amen. And that's our prayer, Lord, that you would have your way this morning. We would hear from you. Come and fill this place with your presence and your power. Give us the ability to hear with spiritual ears. Thank you for these people that continue to serve God. Till he comes and gets us, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church. What is tomorrow? Veterans Day. How many remembered that? It's a holiday, right? Will the banks be closed? Okay. Is school going to be happening tomorrow? You are having school? Okay. And do you remember what Veterans Day is all about? Do you know when it started? It started like 1948. It was first called Armistice Day, to honor the final day of World War II, when the peace treaty was signed between Japan and America. Later on, Armistice Day became Veterans Day because they wanted to do more than just honor the veterans of World War II. They wanted to honor veterans of all wars. And then Veterans Day became even more expanded. They thought it's a good thing to honor guys that have been in the war. But what about all these servicemen and women? They took the same oath. They took the same pledge. They've served. So today, veterans are honored and respected. And we certainly want to do that. We want to honor and respect those who have served us. Well, who is a veteran? According to Title 38 of the Code of Federal Regulations, it defines a veteran as a person who served in the active military, naval or air service, and who was discharged or released under conditions other than dishonorable. If you were released with an honorable medical discharge and you served in the military services, you are to be thanked, you are to be honored, and we will do that in a bit. When I was a boy, I grew up at a real patriotic time. It was cool to be patriotic. I was taught by my parents and even taught at school that we should be patriotic and that we should honor America. We took a pledge of allegiance, okay? And I remember growing up watching World War II movies and the Korean age movies, because I was a little bit early. For that, MASH may have been the first Korean War TV, and that was a comedy. Anybody remember that? I grew up with John Wayne and Audie Murphy and people like that who were heroes. And those people were idolized. They were characterized as good and honorable people. They, behind the backdrop of that, understand my time as a little boy in the 50s and 60s. World War II was still fresh on our minds. And specifically, what happened on December 7th, 1941. Raise your hand if you remember exactly what happened on December 7th, 1941. That's less than 50%, just like the first service. Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, our military base in Hawaii. Japan attacked, unprovoked. They wanted California. They wanted America. They were involved with the Nazi regime that wanted to take control of the world. I remember that. I remember today that they destroyed several of our ships, including the USS Arizona, which was sank with 1,177 sailors who are still there, entombed forever in that memorial now. We remember that we were attacked on that day. Those were calls to come forward and stand up for America. Then after Pearl Harbor, I remember that there was an incident called the Bay of Pigs. I was just a little guy, I think 9 or 10. Russia, the communist regime at Russia and China were both trying to expand and take over the world. First through Vietnam, Cambodia. And Russia had their eyes on America. And they were intending to bring nuclear weapons to Cuba, only 90 miles from the coast of the United States. From there, they could launch missiles and attack any U.S. city. And we did not have defenses because there'd be very little time. Our president then, John F. Kennedy, said, "We'll not let it happen." Sent a bunch of boats. Put a blockade around Cuba and said, if you pass this line, we will blast you. Nikita Khrushchev, prime minister of Russia, said, I will destroy America. Do you remember that? Did you ever hear that? He intended to destroy. He sent those ships with those bombs. And at the last minute, before there was war between two countries that had the atomic bomb, Russia backed off. It's a reminder to you and I that if not for certain circumstances, you and I could be speaking Japanese or Russian today. I say this knowing that these are the things that my generation kind of went through. And if you're here today and you're 25 or younger, you probably don't have a feeling for this. And that's okay. That's okay. The only thing that's really happened that's attacked our shores was in 2001, September 11. You probably know about that, but you were, you know, that's 19 years ago. And if you were even here, maybe you're just a toddler. You don't know. But those of us that were here and remember the attack by the Islamic terrorist group Al-Qaeda came to our shores, attacked the World Trade Center, sent a plane to the Pentagon, our main military, and I believe the Capitol building was one of the destinations. About 3,000 Americans were killed, 25,000 wounded. We remember. In fact, if you're an adult then 90% of you folks remember exactly where you were that day, don't you? You see, if this morning I'm going to recognize and give honor and respect to people who have stood up and served, knowing that folks like them have served and given their life. But I want you to know, I don't preach patriotism. I preach Jesus. Only Jesus has the power and authority, because he's the one true God, amen? Only Jesus can help America. Only Jesus can exercise his authority over every king and every prime minister and every military in the world, and we want to preach Jesus. And if what comes out of that is an honor and respect for others, okay. We're going to see what the Bible says about it. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you for asking, by the way. What's the Bible say about that? I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. What was that word? Thanksgiving. What month is it? Thanksgiving month. We're talking about it all month. And we're not talking about just Thanksgiving as a chance to fill our bellies with turkey. It's a month to be thankful. And that we as Christians, we said last week, we saw this, where we are to be better at giving thanks than anybody on the planet. Why? Because we have so much to be thankful for. And because God tells us, be thankful. And that what, these prayers and thanksgiving be made for who? All people. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. I think we ought to pause. He tells us what to do and then the objective of it. Pray for these people in authority. Pray for our government. Pray for our president. Offer petitions. Go to the Lord and ask him for things, specific things for those people. Everyone in authority, including those guys and gals in the blue. When I was a youngster, we grew up idolizing the president of the United States. I am not kidding you. It was like the most respected person in America. In fact, a lot of moms and dads would hope and pray that my little boy or girl would grow up to be president of the United States. Some of y'all remember that? I know you do. Yeah, that attitude has changed, and I know for some good reasons. But the Bible says we need to be thankful and pray. The purpose is that we can live in godliness and we can live in holiness. And in America, that's pretty easy. We should be thankful. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Jesus Christ. He is still the man. He's the one that has gone before us. He is our hero, to be greatly honored and greatly respected. We should pay attention to what he says. And here he says, we need to pray for these people who gave himself as a ransom for all. It says we should pray about them, pray for them. We should ask God to do things for them. And it says we need to intercede. We need to stand in the gap and say, God, bless these people who have taken this position for us. So, it's a reminder that we should do this. All right, let's go on. I'm going to suggest three things that we need to do today. Number one, first one is remember. If you're young enough and you don't remember these kind of things, a threat to our freedom, that's okay. And if you are my age or whatever and you don't feel this way about your country, that's okay. You're free to feel like you want to because it is a free country, right? But as Christians, we above all should know and remember freedom is not free. It's expensive. It is bought at a huge price. And it's just like our salvation. You and I have the privilege of, you know, the wonderful, the greatest gift of all time, to be saved and have a relationship with God. But someone had to give up their life for that, didn't they? So that's similar for us. We should remember Psalm 119. The Bible's got remembrance all over it. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've hidden it. I've got it in my memory. It directs the way I live. We remember what Jesus said about communion. When you gather together about communion, he said, do this in remembrance of me. In 2 weeks, we'll have communion. We will remember what Jesus did for us on that day. Right before Thanksgiving, we're going to offer great thanks to the Lord for that. Jesus even said, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Romans 13, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities exist have been established by God Himself. I don't understand all that, but I understand this. Just the very idea of authority came from Him, not the ego from some people. That God has made it clear through history. He's raised people to be in authority, to do a job. It, a lot of times, is not because he, that leader, was so good and righteous, or his people, but because God had a plan, and the world is evil, and God said, but I want to save it. Okay? Now, it's Thanksgiving month, and I'm talking about our veterans, and like you've been hearing me say, do something. Thanksgiving is a verb. It's not, you're not going to get that by an English teacher. Nancy Beckman told me again this morning, Thanksgiving is, I can't use it as a verb in any sentence, but she said, Pastor, it is a verb. It is something we do, and I want to do something right now. I want to recognize people who have served this country, you and me, in the military. Not just to stand up and thank you and clap. I've got some things I want to give you. We should do something. So, if you were in the military, any branch, reserves, active duty, whatever, would you please stand and come to the stage and receive your gifts? Go ahead. Come on, Joe. Come on, Jason. Come on, Mike. Come on. Come on, Tim. Come on up here. Line up. Line up. Line up. All right. God bless you. Thank you. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. You ready? All right. I know you how to do it. Here we go. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wilma, you was in the military, wasn't you? And I want to recognize each and every one of you. We're going to ask you to tell us who you are so these people know what branches of the military you were in and what years you served.
Oh, Lord. My name is Wilma Jones. I was in the Army. I served in Hawaii from 1973 to 1975.
Rough duty, Hawaii. But God bless you. Thank you. Vietnam was winding down, yes, and it was still difficult duty. Jason?
Jason Jones, United States Marine Corps, 1997 Hoorah! To 2001. Hoorah.
2001?
Yes.
Where were you stationed? I'd like for you guys to tell us where you were stationed.
Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Okay. All right. Bless you, Mike.
Mike Ewaldson. I was in the Army. I jumped out of airplanes, and I was in from 1983 to 1985.
How many times did you jump out of airplanes?
Too many.
If you'll notice, most of these guys that jumped out of airplanes, and we had several in the first service, they were all bow-legged.
That's right.
So God bless you for your bow-leggedness, brother.
Joe Bishop, U.S. Army, 2010 to 2012, Fort Hood, Texas. I was in the field artillery, medical discharge.
Can you hear anything?
Huh?
What? Yeah.
Jeremy Collins, U.S. Air Force, 2000 to 2009. Whiteman Air Force Base with the stealth.
9 years at Whiteman Air Force Base. So you flew those great big black planes.
I didn't. Like water survival and land survival.
Oh, really? Water survival? You jump out of a plane and...
We worked with the Sea Guys,
yeah. Oh, you work for Joe. If Joe ever fell out of a plane, and you would go out there and get him. All right, bless you. Yes, sir.
I'm Mark Swope, and I was in front U.S. Air Force from 82 to 85, 544th Reconnaissance Wing.
All right, Air Force 82 to 85. God bless you, sir. And what did you do?
I supported the President's aircraft.
Supported the President's aircraft. Okay, that's a wow. This man obviously has character and integrity to do that. He had to pass incredible background checks. Amen. Well, that's great. But I want to do some things for you. First of all, I have something for you from my own personal stock. It's amazing how this worked out perfectly. This is Show Me the Venison. This is venison jerky. This is from my own personal stock. It was made by Elvis Hart, so it's world-class jerky. I want you to have that. Soldiers like that stuff. Soldiers also like to eat. How was the chow in the military? It was awesome. Here are six. Wow. It's amazing how this worked out. Six, in here is a certificate of thanks from your church. It says that MBF thanks you for your service, and I want to buy you lunch. So I want to buy each of you lunch one at a time. All you got to do is call. We'll schedule it. And also, military people like to fish. They like boats, particularly the Navy. So we have five guys in this church who are really, really good fishermen, have, you know, bass boats, professional guys, almost some of them. And all we got to do is schedule it. One of us will take you trout fishing, crappie fishing, bass fishing, and just to say that we thank you and we're proud of you. All right, church, give them one last big thank you, would you? You may sit down now. All right. When you see Yvette, tell them thank you for your service and do something for them. I'm going to give you some suggestions. But first of all, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about your president, your current president? You don't have to say anything. Some good, some bad. I know that America is split right down the middle, basically, red and blue. That's okay. How do you feel about the former president? Who was that? Barack Obama. How do you feel about the president before him? George Bush Jr. How do you feel about the president before him? Bill Clinton. Blue, red, blue, red. It seems like we can't make up our mind, but it seems like that God has a plan. And I want to suggest something to you. Romans 13, let everyone be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The whole idea of authority, the whole idea of a government was not made by the ego of some people. It was God's idea. Why? So that he could send his message of hope and salvation and redemption and do it freely and to bring order on the planet. If we didn't have authorities, what would it be like for us? And the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence, they had all of this in mind. There were 56 of them. 55 of the signers of the Declaration of Independence declaring our freedom, 55 of them were born-again, active Christians. You can see it in their writings that we should honor God and we should honor people. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone, including our leaders. And that's the second point. What should we do to show thanksgiving? We should pray for them and not be ugly. There shouldn't be any ugliness coming out of our voice, out of our mouth. Did Jesus say anything ugly? Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say to you, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. Who's talking? Jesus. He said, yeah, it's wrong to murder. We all know that. It's even wrong to use your words and slander someone. You're guilty of judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Is this saying that if you curse someone, you're going to hell? It says you're guilty enough for hell. That's the point. God said there is this standard for life. There's a standard that you must receive to have a relationship with God. And slander is not part of it. In fact, if you are guilty of one of the Ten Commandments, you're guilty of all of it and guilty enough to go to hell. Now, does that mean we're going to hell if we say something ugly? To interpret scriptures, you have to take each scripture and interpret it in light of all the scriptures. It's like a big giant puzzle that doesn't really have a picture and make sense till you've got it all. And there are other scriptures that say, because Jesus served us and gave his life for us on the cross, we can have freedom and we can be set free from that guilt. He bore all that guilt, all those ugly things that we've said and done. He bore it all. And so if you have Jesus, the Bible's clear, you have salvation. Now you are guilty enough to go to hell. But if you got Jesus, thank God you don't have to. Amen. Amen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Some of you may not be feeling it at all about being thankful for America and thankful for these men and women. That's okay. But maybe that point right there is what you want to take home. Maybe that's your take home. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. None. Not to your wife or your husband. Not to your boss. Not to the guy that cut you off in traffic. Not to the people that you have to send your tax dollars to. Not the people who are running in next election in 2020. How should we view those people? With honor and respect. Because they may be God's choice. Really? In 2020, don't you want a president to be elected that God picks for us? Then we should pray for that. In the meantime, let's don't talk ugly about somebody that God picks. Offer petitions, that's ask God to do something for your president and all these people that serve. Pray for them, enter the presence of the Lord, and hear what he has to say about them. That's real prayer. And intercession, stand before them. There's some things that my president says that I wish he didn't, okay? He's a little bit of a name caller, okay? He's my president. I'm going to show him respect. I'm going to show him honor. And I'm going to intercede for him. Lord, help my president hear your thoughts and speak your words. I'm interceding for the man or the woman or whoever it is. And then we should love them. If he came to church this morning, if Donald Trump come through the door, what are you going to do? I tell you what you should do. We should all line up and get our chance to say, Mr. President, I love you. I'm praying for you. I want to give you a hug if Secret Service won't shoot me. Welcome to New Beginnings, and I'm going to pray that God will bless your life. Your worst enemy, you should pray that for them, Christians. 2020 is going to be another election. I don't know who's going to win. Not concerned. I'm going to pray. God, you pick it. And in the meantime, there's going to be a bunch of ugliness on TV. You know, the folks on Fox and the folks on ABC and NBC, CBS, CNN, they're going to speak some ugliness about all of them. Red's going to speak ugly of blue. Blue's going to speak ugly of red. Christians are going to do what? Pray and speak words of blessings. This is awesome. I look forward to 2020. Church, we got a phenomenal opportunity. Why? To look really different. To really make a difference. Why? When we speak kindly and good and ask God to bless these people, what's that going to look like? It's going to look like a light. And we'll be the light of Jesus. It's a great opportunity for you. And for me, you know why I know that it's such a great opportunity with great success? There's very few other people doing it. We'll be different. We'll be peculiar. Then the last thing is, show your thankfulness. When you see a veteran, see somebody in uniform, police, military, show it. It's good to say, thank you for your service. It's better to buy their lunch. Buy their lunch. And even say to this, in the name of Jesus Christ who loves you, thank you for serving. How about that? These folks took an oath for us. Every one of these guys, everyone in the military took an oath. Let's read it. I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to regulations and uniform code of military justice, so help me God. We should honor that oath. Some of these folks just enrolled because it was a good job, maybe best job they could get to join the military. But before they got past day number one, they had to say that. And now they have to do it. I'm feeling thankful for these guys. How about you? I'm going to finish with one last picture. One of our guys, there's Archie Johnson. He goes to church here, him and his sweet little bride, Vicky. Archie's 77 or 8, I think. 22 years in the Army. He's in Texas right now. Got drafted into Vietnam. He wound up serving 22 years. He said, I love soldiers. I love the Army. He wasn't crazy. That man right there is just as sane as you and I. But he liked duty. He liked taking an oath and backing it up. He said he was a drill sergeant a couple of times. I asked him, said, well, Sergeant, did you yell at these guys and cuss them? He goes, I never yelled at a soldier. I always just pulled them aside and talked to them man to man. They don't need to be yelled at. This guy, to show you the kind of action, he's 19 years old. He's flying in a helicopter. He was the gunner for over a year, which means God must have been on his side. They get called into a skirmish. There's five soldiers on the ground, and they're flying over to get these guys, and Viet Cong are peppering this helicopter with bullets. And he said to the captain, get it down. I'm going to go get those guys. They landed that helicopter. He pulled off his machine gun, I guess 50 caliber, and got a belt of bullets and took off. He eliminated all the enemy, and he brought those five guys back. 19 years old, and a general who was flying around listening to the air traffic told his aide, whoever that soldier is, promoting. He was promoted one thing after another. Shot down in helicopters. He's got bullets. His legs are bowed out there about 5 feet from jumping out of helicopters and planes over 200 times. There are heroes among us. They took an oath, and it said, I solemnly swear that I will support and defend Marcia and Dennis Webb. That's what it means. Mike and Donna Meatha, Terry and Linda Ratcliffe, every one of you all, they deserve our thanks. And it honors God we live this kind of life. Father, thank you so very much. I'm believing that you spoke to us from your word. God bless these people. God bless those who serve us. Some of these people serve New Beginnings with joyful heart and devotion. We're thankful for them. We're thankful for them most of all. We're thankful for Jesus. And we will stand now and sing our praise to Him, Jesus our Lord. Church, stand to your feet. Let's bless God. Let's give Him our thanks.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Praise Father, Son. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Have an awesome week. We'll see you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome, friend. Have a good week.